Welcome to Holden Village. Today in the fireside room, we have David Hamilton speaking on strengthening family relationships through anger management and communication. So let's listen in on David Hamilton.
My name is Dave Hamilton. And the name of the session is, the whole four sessions is strengthening family relationships through anger management and communication. And today is session two, and it's developing your own anger management plan. And so with that, we'll get started. But before we actually get started, I see some new faces here, and what I'd like to do real quickly is review yesterday and what we did yesterday, because even though you can jump around and take separate sessions, it does help if you know what came before, because I'll be using some of the terms that I used yesterday today. And so it'll help if you all know that. It's a good review for everybody here anyway. Okay, so yesterday we talked about what anger is all about. And we defined anger as an emotion, okay? It's not a bad one, it's not a good one. In fact, anger can help us in terms of motivating us to do something about the incident that created anger in the first place. So that it can be a positive for us as well. Let's see. And what we talked about yesterday is in our anger management plan is, first of all, we have to recognize the physical signs of anger. Those are things like jaw tightening, fist clenching. Weird little vibration there. Face flushing, muscle tension on any part of your body, stomach rumbling, ulcers, whatever.
Eyes flashing,
that's right. Yeah. I just saw Pearl, she said goodbye. Yeah. She was the flasher. With her eyes, of course. And knowing your buttons is real important too. That's step two in this process. Knowing what makes you angry. What are the things that are set you off, okay? Because being aware of your physical signs and knowing your buttons, then knowing your buttons, you can begin to do the step three, which is owning your buttons. In other words, what are those things that trigger your anger? Remember, they're your things that trigger your anger. They're not somebody else's. Even though somebody might have done something to push one of those buttons, it's still your button, okay? And then this is where we're at now. We're at step four, act, not react. And we're going to talk about anger management plan today and deal with that, okay? And before we go on to that, though, let me just quickly read to you a verse out of Ephesians, and it's chapter 4, hold on, I got my glasses, chapter 4, 26. And it says here, "Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath." We've all heard that. Don't let the sun go down upon your anger. Try to work it out, deal with it. That's where we're at today. We're looking at a plan to try to deal with anger so that we don't have to, it doesn't reside in us, it doesn't sit there, it doesn't fume, that kind of thing. And again, it says, "Let no corrupt communication," we're down to 29 now, "let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." That's the bottom line too, is we have to forgive those who get angry at us as they have to forgive us when we do lose it. And that's one of the things in the anger management plan too. It's not perfect. Once we lose it, then we go back and deal with that through apology, mending fences, letting the other person know that you feel bad about it or whatever. Okay. All right. So we're going to jump right into the anger management plan today. And there's two parts to an anger management plan. And And it's called the short-term and long-term anger reducers, okay? So these are anger reducers. It's really hard for me, for some reason, to spell. I'm looking up here at the board because my mind's going around. Of course, I'm not a great speller. So, anger reducers. Now, remember, we've already talked about recognizing the physical signs, knowing what your buttons are. Now we're going to hone our buttons by trying to stay in control, okay? And anger reducers are nothing more than, boom, now that you feel that first shot of anger coming through, all right? And you feel the tension in your neck. Somebody has just done something, pushed one of your buttons, that first shot's coming through. What you need to do is go to your short-term anger reducer, okay? There's actually three or four that we teach, but there's many more, and we can list those as we go on here. Deep breathing. Taking deep breaths, one that we teach. Pleasant imagery, not a whole lot of people get into this one. It's pretty hard to do when images. It's pretty hard to do when you got that first flash of anger. One of the kids that I work with said, oh yeah, pleasant images, my hands around his neck. That's his pleasant image. Now wait a minute, that's not quite what I meant. Okay, deep breaths, pleasant image, and counting backwards. Why counting backwards?
More concentration.
Yeah, counting backwards. I mean, we all can count forward very fast. Counting backwards to 20. But counting backwards takes a little more time, a little more conscious effort, a little more thought, okay, so that by the time you're done, You may be over the first flood of anger that's coming through. Okay, those are the typical ones we teach, but there are others. By the way, short-term anger reducers are within 0 to 30 seconds. That's the first 0 to 30 seconds when that anger first hits you. Boom. Okay. That's what we mean by short-term. We'll get into long-term and we'll in a few minutes here. So we've got short-term anger reducers, deep breaths, pleasant images. What are some other ones? Others that you've known other people have used, or you've tried yourself, or it works for you?
Time out, getting,
okay.
Bleeding.
Yeah, okay, walking away. Mm-hmm. And that can be a long-term as well as a short-term. What's a problem with walking away sometimes?
You don't face it.
It might be that other person's button that you're interacting with when you turn. Boom, you walk away. It's like, where are you going? I got to deal with it.
And that could also be the pleasant image, too, right?
Watch them flip out when you walk away. Okay, what else? Any others?
Change the subject.
Okay.
It takes too much thought.
Which may be an avoidance.
Maybe avoidance, and it may upset the other person too. But we'll talk about how you can implement this in a minute with the other people you're involved with. Okay. What else?
Can you vocalize, I can't deal with this right now?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see.
The primal scream doesn't work.
It works for me. That's 0.30 seconds.
0.30. Okay, let's see. We'll say vocalize emotion, whatever. You can't do it. Bye. Here's one the kids came up with. Making
drink of H2O or swallowing even, just the act of swallowing.
Pretty smudge. Let's see what else they came up with. We'll cheat. There's a, in schools they do a anger reduction technique where you stop, think, and relax. Say to yourself, stop. So, think about the situation and then try to relax. These are what some of the counselors are teaching kids. And I ran into it when I started doing some of this stuff. One of the kids said, tell a friend to hold you back. Pretty kill some. Hold me back. Another one of the things they came up with is turn away or, and the one kid, when we said turn away, he said, no way I'm going to turn away. What happens if I turn away? They're going to hit me in the back of the head or something. He says, I'll walk backwards. I said, okay, turn away or walk backwards. That was his response. Okay, anything else you can think of? Remember, it's just 0-30 seconds. Anything you can do, boom. All right? Now, let's go long-term, more than 30 seconds. Walk away. Because if you're still walking away after 30 seconds, then you're or even going for a walk. That's a good one, too. Get rid of some of that energy. What else?
Sometimes I'll drive away.
Okay.
Just change the scenery.
And what's the only hazard about this one? Yeah, maybe going too fast, you know, maybe going around corners faster. And
I've done that.
When we teach this to kids, we tell them, you don't get on three-wheelers, you don't get on snow machines, you don't get in a car. Because you may overdo it. You may go too fast, get hurt. You don't want to do that. You don't chop wood.
Oh, that sounds pretty good, actually.
Actually, the physical outlets are good, and exercise is one of them. Certainly encourage exercise, but not the kinds that may get them hurt. Okay.
Stationary bicycle.
Yeah. Or running. One kid runs around his house.
You don't run in my house.
Yeah. Well,
that's one of my triggers.
The outside.
He goes outside.
Okay.
He runs outside around the house. And he's upset. He's quite a runner, by the way, by now. He's one of the top high school runners.
I like to see the path around the yeah.
He's also attention deficit disorder, so this is the kind of kid. He's got to be moving anyway.
No, I'm not those.
Yeah. Okay, what else? What are some other ones?
Talk to somebody.
Good, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that can be, you know, either personally or on the phone. A lot of the kids say, call a friend. Call a friend me. Now this is assuming you're still angry and you need time to calm down. Okay? You still haven't quite pulled it together. You have to deal with whatever happened.
Get facts. That'd be long term.
Do what?
Get facts about what it is that's making you angry.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that last.
Facts.
Fast?
Get the facts.
Get the facts.
Get the facts. I'm sorry.
Just the facts.
Yeah.
Just the facts. Nothing but the facts.
Find out what happened.
That's very difficult also.
Yeah. Yeah, especially when you're still angry and upset.
Well, but especially when you can't get two stories that match. He hit me. No, he hit me.
Sometimes I use a running monologue, just myself, just getting the emotion out.
Yeah. And sometimes it helps you sort out the issues, and not only the issues, but the emotions too behind it, what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm talking to the other person to find out what they really meant by what they said it is.
I'm getting back.
Yeah, I'm going to do a little session on communication this afternoon at 6:15. In fact, it won't be in this one, it'll be in the next room. But, and that's one of the things that we talked about there is how communication, how easily communication can break down. Because there's really six different messages, there's six different ways of communicating when you're talking to someone. Six different processes going on. So it's really easy for communication to break down, and that's why it's important to talk to the other person eventually.
Mm-hmm. How about the opposite of that? You put the term ignore. I think you use that too often. But
and what I do is on this one, I'll say, okay, if you're going to ignore them, you have to set it up. Like with any of these where you may be pushing a button in the other person, okay, you have to set it up beforehand and say, okay, I just did this course, man, in anger management, and now I know what to do. And this is my short-term anger reducer. I'm going to walk away because I can't handle it. I don't want to hurt you, and I don't want to say things I regret. So I'm going to walk away, and I'm going to ignore you. But you have to let me do that, because a lot of people, when you get angry or upset, they want to, hey, wait, where are you going? Come back here. We got to deal with this. You can't be walking away on me. So you got to set it up so it's okay to do that. So you're kind of making rules on how you can do this. Because the kids that we teach, anger management. The kids that we teach, if they walk away from their parents, wouldn't you guys help me out?
We did.
That's right. See,
they ignored you. I thought it was a test.
Anyway,
David, if you're doing this, you also got anger reducers without the second R, but that's...
Yeah. Just made that one word.
Yeah. It's just one word. It's just one word.
Anger reducers.
Oh, okay. Thank you. If you see any others, I will gladly be able to. But when kids walk away from their parents, okay, if they learn some of these techniques and they don't set it up beforehand, they walk away from their parents, what's that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Lack of respect, boy, that's a big button. Mine too. Okay, so that's important to set it up with whoever.
Okay, I'm sitting in traffic for a half hour. Ooh. I've already screamed, but I'm still sitting there. And I have to be someplace 30 minutes ago.
Can't walk away.
The kids are stuck in school.
You're lucky they're not in front of you.
Sometimes they are.
Relaxation.
Last time they get up on the sidewalk and go. This is a tape.
And you know what? You know what really helps too, and this can go along with that.
Sure. Something just changed your mood.
God created strength to handle this. This is out of my control. You know, and when things are out of your control, it sometimes helps to say, yeah, I really don't have any control over this. And I just have to let it go. Because what happens if you keep getting worked up about things you can't control? Then it begins to tear your own body down. Because we know that if you're continually under stress without any relief, that it can begin to affect the immune system. That's why people that are under a lot of stress continually without much relief and without a way of dealing with it tend to get sicker more often. And sometimes can have real severe illness. Quick example of that is, I learned this back in Idaho, close to 20 years ago when I first started in this business. Quick example, a psychiatrist told me this, that if there's research done at the University of Washington by a guy named Holmes, and he developed a scale that's called
He used to call it the social readjustment scale. Now it's called something else. I don't think I brought a copy with me, but now it's called some kind of stress rating scale or something like that. So basically what he did is he looked at events in people's lives and was able to rate them based upon things that happened to people. And the psychiatrist told me that based on this research, they found that if somebody had pneumonia and went to a hospital for it, there's usually some traumatic event involved in their life anywhere from 6 months to a year prior to their contracting pneumonia. Boy, that's a long time. And that's a long time to be under that stress, too. And so I sat there and I thought, I had pneumonia in the Army. And so I thought back, and you know, 6 months to the day that I went into the Army that I contracted pneumonia. Talk about a stressful event. It was. But anyway, that's just a sideline on relaxation. And when you can't control things and things seem out of control, that's the time to let go. It really is. It's hard to do. But once you can do it, it really becomes a real good coping method. And I do that through prayer, too. I do it because I just ask for God's peace. And, you know, and you just keep asking until you get it. And it will come. It will come. Sometimes it's brief, but it will come. I guarantee that. Okay, here's some other ones. We're talking about long-term anger reducers, things that happen after 30 seconds. And let's see. Listen to music. Nobody mentioned that one. That's a good one.
Music.
Yeah, for sure. Certainly not, you know, for some of us, certainly not kids.
Not what the kids will say.
Led Zeppelin tapes.
On long term, too, if you don't deal with it, you also go into depression, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that could be a result of not dealing with it, for sure. Mm-hmm. Okay. And
you think you might be able to come up with a long term list of bad things or things the way you shouldn't deal with them.
Certainly there's negative things.
Yeah.
And the kids will say too, oh yeah, you go out and get drunk, or you get hot, or, you know, or, you know, you drive a car too fast, or a snow machine, or, you know, you do some of those negative things that can harm you more than help you. Yell and scream hurt somebody. I mean, mm-hmm. That may get rid of some of that energy and some of that anger, but what, you know, there's certainly negative aspects to that, too. We try not to focus on that, though. Oh, wait, stop. And I was bringing it back to the positive.
And throwing things doesn't work either, because then you're the one that has to clean up the broken stuff.
That's right. Some of the other things that the kids mentioned, ski or skate, time out. And a lot of these things are considered timeouts. But, you know, time out can be... Go lock yourself in the bathroom. If you can't leave the house, you got kids there, and you got things to do, go lock yourself in the bathroom, you know. Sit down and pray, relax, do something. Wash your face, clean the tub. I've had adults say that, I go clean the house. Boom. You know, they just go through like a whirlwind, a tornado. Clean the house.
The old punching bag technique still in vogue, or is that?
Well, it is with some. I've been reviewing a lot of anger management stuff for kids, and even one of the newest publications that came out in anger management for kids said, use punch a pillow. Well, all the behavioral psychologists will say, no, don't do that stuff, because what happens if you don't have your pillow or your punching bag there, and you do that behavior as a way of releasing some energy and some anger, and all of a sudden you don't have that stuff available and you're in a hot situation. You may end up punching someone or punching something else. Boom, it's going to hurt you. I mean, I don't know how many of these kids said, yeah, I've done that, man. Punched holes in my wall and broke my door and punched my hand through a glass or hit a brick wall. I said, what'd you do with your hand? Well, I broke it. Yeah, that hurts, doesn't it?
But when the hand started hurting, a lot of the anger went away.
Yeah. Well, it didn't hurt right away.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Hit it the third time to see that. So anyway, Any others you can think of here? You've got a lot of them here. Okay, this is what I want you to do. You can either write it down or you can put it up in your head. I want you to commit to one of these, both short-term and long-term anger reducers that you're going to use in the future, okay? Because this is your anger management plan. This is how you're going to be able to control anger before it gets too far. And it doesn't mean it works every time. But believe me, from the work that I've done with kids and parents, it works. It will work.
Generally works with adults very well.
Mm-hmm. Works a lot better with adults. But it works for kids, too. Kids are really motivated to work on their issues and want to overcome problems with anger. Found that it was working. And principals reporting some, I think this one school that I did, 90% of the kids never reoffended again.
Now, do you have to keep meeting with this group of kids, or is we have, a few sessions fine and they remember? Or is
oh, no, we had basis? We had a lot of practice. And we what we do is we do a lot of behavioral rehearsal or role plays where we practice the skill over and over again. And we're actually going to do that a little bit. I don't know how much time we're going to have today, but we're going to do it before at least the last session for sure. Because that's the key. When you first start using these skills, they seem real foreign and real kind of contrived and not quite smooth. But once you practice them, and we see this process with the kids too, once they start practicing them over time, they become automatic. And now they can turn around and use them. And it's just amazing to watch them. We do video feedback. We do videotaping and then feedback to them on the whole thing. They love that. But no, we have usually about 10 sessions, an hour each is what it takes.
Can you actually role play, you mean? One-on-one?
Yeah, well, actually, yeah, we do it with leaders first because we don't want any negative role plays. Mm-hmm. And then as they learn the rules that they're not supposed to hit each other, push each other, or they're supposed to maintain the positive using these skills, then we let them start role playing together. And they're real situations that have happened to them. They have what's called a hassle log, where the kids fill out this hassle log. Every time they've had a hassle during the week, they fill out one of these little logs. And it just tells us who the other person was, not necessarily names. We don't ask for names, just whether it was a student, a parent, whatever. And what the incident was, how it happened, what some of the buttons were pushed, what their response was, and how they rated their response, okay, in terms of, and how angry they were from not so angry to burning. And then we use those situations to role play. We're going to do that a little bit today, too.
I had a professor in college that said if we allowed our kids to do more freeform art type things with sensory longer, there wouldn't be as much anger or emotion locked up in the art. You know, like the easel, we stop in what, kindergarten? They had an easel in the room until they were seniors and let them go over and do their thing on it. That was her theory.
Well, the assumption behind that was that, you know, creative outlet can help take care of emotions and help kind of unwind from some negative emotions. And I think to some extent there's that would probably work. But I think it would work with some kids, but not all kids. Because I found a lot of these stuff here. Some of these things really work with some kids, but you know, the pleasant images don't work with a lot of them, but it does work with some. And so it's kind of a variable thing where nothing really works with everybody.
Yeah, because we keep an easel up in our house all the time, and my daughter uses it a lot, and her older brother uses it too, the same as my sister's pet, and you know, stuff like that. But at least he puts it down and it's not fixed directly on or anything.
Yeah, at least he said that. Reinforce that for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Being entertained, huh?
Yeah.
Sounds like we have a
yeah. Okay, the next thing we're gonna do, check the time here, is we're gonna break into
groups of three, and I'll tell you how to do that in a second. What we're going to do then is we're going to, everybody can share what their short-term and long-term anger reducer is. And then yesterday, remember, we talked about anger buttons. And what I want you to do is take some situation where one of your anger buttons have been pushed, just like I talked about before in the hassle log, where you've been hassled or you've been involved in a situation where you've gotten angry about something and felt like you didn't handle it very well. Okay, and what we're going to do today is we're going to have, as I said, groups of three. One person will be role-playing their, or practicing, their short-term and long-term anger reducer. Okay, and the other person is going to be the other person that pushed the button, or will help the person get into that, if you will. Then the other person is going to be the observer or the coach, all right? And it can be just a real quick role play, 10 seconds, 30 seconds, just real quick, whatever it is. And you can demonstrate the use of your short-term anger reducer and long-term as much as possible. Some of them are hard to see. We always have the kids try to guess which ones they've used, okay? And then, and most of the time they're pretty good about it. Let's see. And then you can stop the role play. As soon as you're done, you can say cut. We always kind of do a little production thing. You know, we say roll them when we start. Stay in your role, try not to get out of it until you say cut. Or if something happens and the kid blows it, okay, somebody says cut, and that could be the observer or the coach. And the observer or coach can also help the person maybe think of one of the short-term anger reducers or help them through the process. Also try to observe what's going on. Give feedback to both the participants after they're done. Okay? And, yep, I think we're ready. We missed the parade. any questions on that?
Well, the observer, is that an A or B person? That would make a difference in a lot of reactions. Or
A or B?
Yeah, personality.
Oh, type.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think a B person would have to watch me and think control me. Don't you, you know what I'm saying?
Well, if you've got a situation where you think you may still get angry about what's going on, and pick one that's a little less in the threshold of... Well, you know, that's what this is all about. It's practicing the technique. That's what it's all about. And try to think of something fairly recent. And again, remember, you don't have to share something real personal, but whatever level you want to share is up to you.
You're sharing something where we lost it?
Uh-huh. Where you lost it. Okay, what you're sharing, first of all, is the button that you lost it. And the other person that's role-playing with you is going to be the other person or help you set up that situation where you lost it. Then you're going to practice this technique, okay? Both short-term and long-term. With me, it's deep breathing and then go for a run. Depends on if I really have to get away from the situation. But would somebody like to role-play with me real quick? Volunteer? I won't put you in that position. I'm going to be the person that gets angry or upset. I'll just tell you what the situation is. Be shy. It's okay. Any volunteers?
She does.
Somebody's trying to volunteer one person.
So I think you should take the person who's pushing.
Good idea. Wonderful. See, that'll teach you.
This makes me angry.
That's right. You volunteered for something. There you go.
Now you need to show us the
I
on. Okay, ready? Hey, we're gonna start the role play, and this is the way it goes. You're gonna look for a short-term and long-term anger reducer. Okay, that's your job. Okay, roll. Hey, Anna, have you finished your homework yet?
Sure have, Dad.
Okay, just wanted to check.
Just bugging you again.
This is her math book. It's open to page 57. She's only got half of them done. Right. Hey, Anna, I need to talk to you. Please hang up the phone.
Can you give me 10 more minutes?
No, I need to talk to you now.
All right, I got to go.
Thank you. Anna, I just checked your math book, and it's open to page 57, and only half the problems are done. What's going on?
I think that's all the teacher told me I had to do anyway.
But problem 12 is not even completed. I thought you said you didn't have any homework.
Couldn't get that one. You want to help me?
I feel like you lied to me, Anna, and that really upsets me. Okay, I need to take a break right now. You can work on the problem. I'll come back when I'm feeling a little more like I can deal with it. Okay.
Okay.
She was getting herself in deeper there, folks. But that's what they do, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. And oh, here's another quick. Quick thing. Why do kids lie? To stay out of trouble. The biggest reason why kids lie is to avoid punishment. I have this little handout on lying for parents because parents have a hard time understanding why kids lie. Anyway, so do I. Especially when it's my own kid. See?
Not only your own kid, but we had National Youth Convention in Atlanta. And the very last evening, four boys from an area town skipped the last band, and they lied to their counselors. You know, you talk about being upset, but also disappointed.
Yeah, right.
So it's when somebody else's, not only your own, you feel more personal, but you also feel personal when it's somebody else's that you're responsible for.
That's right, yeah. That's a good point, too. Be sure and come back at 6:15 because we're going to talk about the emotions behind anger, and disappointment is one of them. We talked yesterday, fear is another one. There's a bunch of them, but it'll help communication too once you figure out what those emotions are and all that stuff. Okay, so what we're going to do now is count. I just demonstrated for you what I want you to do. Oh, by the way, what was my short-term anger reducer? Breath. I had to use it twice, as you know. Oops, did it again. Zing.
You also turned well, away.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, that's right. Sometimes breaking that contact is like, okay, hang on. And breaking eye contact.
You also took a moment. You took time out.
Mm-hmm. I took a time out both times, actually.
Two times, actually.
Yeah. And then Toler said, look, I can't deal with it right now. I'll come back and talk about this later. I'm sure she could feel the intensity, because actually I'll start, you know, when I get into these role plays, boom, those buttons are still there. Did you feel the intensity of that?
She walked in the hole. She felt it.
That was actually a double play on her part. One, it could have been fear, because you were going to do it. But she was also playing with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When she, you know, you started walking,
she didn't want to
she went
you.
Around.
These were the exact lines my younger son gives me.
Oh, she's bugging me again. Yeah, I heard that as I walked away. I could let that one go, but you know. Yeah. Some of you can, some of you can't. That's a good point. Okay, let's, and what we're going to do is I want everybody to role play at least one time and, you know, try not to take more than 2 minutes, and I'll say switch at the end of 2 minutes each time so that everybody gets at least one role play because there's a few more things I want to do before we end up today. So let's count off 1, 2, 3, and we'll start back there.
One.
Two.
Three.
Jeez.
One.
Two.
Anna, you're three.
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 One.
One. Two.
Three.
One. Two.
Three.
One. Two.
Three. One. Okay, one, you can join one of the other groups.
Okay.
So, wait a minute, I screwed that up.
Yeah.
I sure did. Hold it. We got to find out how many people forget what you are. Get your number.
I already forgot it.
Okay. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 14, 16. So we need groups of three, so that's five. Okay, count to five. Start over again. Sorry. One through five. And the ones, remember who your person is. And the twos, try to remember who your person, the three, so on.
Okay.
Because we need groups of three, not groups of five. Okay, I'm sorry. Start back there.
I'm still one.
And you're still one.
Two. Three.
Four.
Five.
One.
Two.
Three.
Four.
Five.
One.
Two.
Three.
Four.
Five. And this is actually meant more for parents and kids, but you can use it with spouses, you can use it with friends, you can use it with anybody that you want to. And it's just kind of a fun exercise on predicting your anger button or predicting somebody else's anger button. And what it's meant to do is create a dialogue between you and the other person that you're doing this with, just about your anger buttons. So you begin to communicate about your anger buttons with somebody else that's close to you. And I made up this worksheet so that you can do it with kids. But again, remember, you can do it with anybody. It can be a spouse, friend, somebody at work, whatever. Okay? Or it can be with your kids, too. And again, it's just a way to begin that communication process about anger. And we'll talk about communication tonight at 6:15 in the next room.
Thank you.
By the way, while I'm handing these out, who would like to give us feedback on their small group interaction? How'd it go? How did it feel? What did you accomplish?
Moral of the story is not to have 200 people in the congregation be your lemons.
Well,
no.
Several passes thousands.
Okay, we got feedback from that group. Anybody else?
No,
which one did I do? Okay. Now, it can be your child, it can be your spouse, it can be anybody. It doesn't have to be.
How many of them?
Doesn't
make any difference.
There's two worksheets here.
No spouse?
No.
Orange is sliced in
half. Okay, any other feedback real quick before we break?
What about friends? They see.
Was that hard to do?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? It does take practice, and that's the key. It feels real stifling, and it's hard to get out of that place where you're at, which is angry, okay? And that's why it's real hard to get going at first. We'll practice this some more, though, for sure. Okay.
Now, is there an appropriate time that you can express your anger immediately?
Yeah, actually, you know, as long as you're not losing it to the point where you're hurting somebody else, okay, then the way you express it within, you know, like talking it out with someone, we didn't put that down here, did we? We did put it over here. Talk it out with the other person, you can still be angry. Maybe yelling and screaming at them isn't exactly the way they would like you to express it, but you can ask them that, okay? But, I mean, with Anna over here, my daughter, you know, I get pretty intense when I get angry about something, and I was starting to show and feel that intensity. And my kids know. I mean, you know, the death stare I told you about yesterday. They know when I'm angry, and they, ooh, they, you know. So, yeah, you can show your anger. I think it's very important that you do, but in a controlled way. That's all. Okay.
Can you deal tonight with maybe the trail? Why the trail? which is broken up in broken relationships.
Okay. Yeah, in communication, there's ways you can communicate about that that may or may not repair it. It's, you know, that it's a two-way street to repair a relationship.
Yeah, it may or may not, but the thing is that it can some suggestions to help us deal with unresolved anger about the betrayal and about the lying.
Okay. Actually, I'd rather do that with you one-to-one. Because that, I'd rather do that one-to-one because I've got so much to cover in such a short amount of time that it's hard to do that on a large group. And so if we could do that privately, that'd be fine.